Calling to order the City of San Ramon Policy Committee, a regular meeting, Wednesday, January 24th. And I am chairing it in lieu of Mayor Clarkson. So first order of business, public comment. Items not on the agenda. And I'm guessing Warren doesn't have anything to say. So we'll open and close that. Dave, approval of minute.
I'd say we defer it till one of these.
One of the attendees that we've traded out.
Other than that, we just bring them in for one deferred and get out.
Item four, unfinished. So we'll pass on the approval of the minutes. Unfinished business, none, guessing. New business, 5.1, conservation easement amendment to allow for the relocation of the El Nido / Harlan House. And who's talking? Warren.
Good afternoon. So this concept of relocating the Harlan House has been floating around for a couple of years now. As has been the discussions on what to do with the house has been subject to debate for many years. Back in 2015, there was a proposal by Mr. Starkweather working with the current owner, or the prior owner of the Harlan House, to relocate to his property. There were a lot of discussions over cost of doing the work, and there were issues regarding the same conservation easement we're talking about today, and ultimately that proposal didn't go forward. What's changed since then is the property has been sold, and Mr. Starkweather and his partner have purchased the property for a potential development, but they also are pursuing the relocation of the house to the property adjacent to Grace Methodist Church that was discussed several years ago. The property owner and of both properties, they have a new insight on how to move forward with this. That issue is the actual conservation easement, and this is an easement that is held by the city, which is again somewhat unique, and oftentimes conservation easements are held by a third party. However, the city is the beneficiary of this particular easement.
Unique for San Ramon, but certainly not, I mean, like Shell Ridge, I think, is this conservation easement held by Walnut Creek.
It's different ways of doing it. Oftentimes they're put into a third party for conservers to conserve. In this case, the city owns the easement, so we have discussion over what happens with that easement. There have been numerous discussions with the Open Space Advisory Committee over the past couple of years with the prior proposal as well as this proposal. And there was a general consensus that there is potential for a compromise. However, there's a need to preserve the intent of the conservation easement and make it stronger, and there needs to be a public benefit associated with that. The discussions didn't go much beyond that. Some of the ideas that were floated around were additional conservation easement area, as well as potential additional trail access easements for connectivity on the west side. I think one of the important things about this is that up until this point, we've never really asked the question of the policy committee or the council. It's always been speculation that there would be support for doing something like this at the council level. And so it's important now that we come back to the top and get direction to pursue this or to not pursue this or whatever the case may be. And so that's really what we're asking for, is some direction regarding the proposal by Mr. Starkweather and how to move forward with that. There's also some questions in terms of procedurally how this will impact the development scenario on the property where the house is located now. Ultimately, there will need to be environmental review, but that will be associated with the development proposal on that property, so we cover both actions. And so with that, I think there's a lot of information in your staff report. I also included the staff reports from back in 2015. So there's a lot of background information there. Mr. Starkweather is here, and he can give you his own perspective as to why they'd like to proceed with this amendment. But again, from a staff perspective, we're really looking at direction to go forward. And if there is a sense from the committee as to what the public benefit would be, obviously there's some value in preserving the house for the community, but there's also a desire to preserve the intent of the conservation easements. And so any decision that's made to amend the easement needs to balance those particular issues. And that's really all I have for now. I'm happy to answer questions about the staff report, or I can turn it over to Mr. Starkweather.
I'm fine for now.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you for the privilege of being here today. And this has not been a quickly arrived at journey. We've actually been working on this for quite some time. As was noted, I withdrew my interest because the prior landowner was not consistent in his approach to the negotiations. I'll just be kind. Also, he left windows open, and he wasn't doing anything to preserve the house, to assure that if we went to all this effort, that the house could physically be moved. And because of some other things that were going on, I just kind of lost interest. Then it came to my attention that they would negotiate the sale of the entire property. So Mr. Sohail Siddiqui, who's the senior partner in this element, and I negotiated in good faith, and I've been doing this for nearly 40 years. This was not one of my easier negotiations, and it was one of the more stressful escrows I've ever been a part of. I mean, it's just unbelievable what they were putting us through. But the need to see the preservation of the oldest wood frame structure in this region outweighed the unpleasantness that Mr. Siddiqui and I were going through. The other point is, as you guys know, is I'm a long-term resident. The oldest picture behind me still has my house on. It's been there for many years. And Mr. Siddiqui has lived in San Ramon for
over 20 years.
Over 20 years also. So
he doesn't look, you look like you should be the senior partner. You don't have any gray hair.
I know that. What is that about? I was complaining to my mother about that just a couple of days ago.
But I digress. Sorry. Yeah,
that's okay. He's got better gene pool than I do.
You're lucky Bill's not here.
Yeah. So where we are I put up a story poll. I did all kinds of work. I went to the neighbors. I discussed the impact of the house. They, after 18 months, didn't even notice that there was a story poll there. So that's a fact. The top of their fence is higher by 18 inches than the ridge line of the house after it's relocated. So if they got on a 6-foot ladder, they could see the house. But if they were staying at grade, they couldn't see the house. Okay, that's a fact. And then if you look at the existing vegetation, it screens it about 90% also, which is an important fact. Their visual line of sight won't be adversely affected. And the other point is if anything, the building will act as a decibel reducer for freeway noise. So I'm just talking about the neighbors directly uphill. Relative to the easement of the trail easement is unaffected by the relocation of the house. There'll be no point where it won't be available for people to enjoy just like they can right now. And after the house is relocated, it'll exist exactly as it does right now, except for a portion of it will be paved, as opposed to just a rock a subbase. Relative to the house itself, it's our purpose, our desire that the house would be used for public purposes. Foundations and nonprofits can use it to raise money. Young families can have events there. Families can have weddings there, that sort of thing. And so it will be available to the general public on specific dates when they have events at Forest Farm. Of the frontage, only about 20% of the frontage abuts the Methodist site. About 80% of the property fronts the city's Forest Farm Park. And so the house is situated in such that there's an existing gate that would allow the public to have immediate access to the house. They certainly have immediate access year-round through the existing trail. So the goal would be, and the house would orientate to San Ramon Valley Boulevard exactly as it presently does. Now, we're not actually relocating from the original site of the house. The original site of the house is more or less where the Lucky's shopping center is today. And it sat back from what is now the San Ramon Valley Boulevard, about the distance at that time that the house will sit in its new location. So when we think in terms of authenticity, it'll be closer to its original site than it presently is, and it'll be about the same distance back from San Ramon Valley Boulevard as it might have been originally, and we can determine that pretty accurately looking at some very, very accurate lithographs that we were provided. Since we purchased the property, and once the stress of the escrows were behind us, we had Mr. Siddiqui and I have a very good ongoing relationship with Joel Gilderman. He very thoughtfully turned over to me the original family albums that go back on that property to when his ancestors first built that house. So it was a remarkable, generous thing. And we made copies and I returned them, you know, right back to him within 24 hours. He also gave me an original signed book that was written by his grandfather that told the story very accurately from when they left the East Coast and they went across the Great Plains and they actually arrived here in what is now San Ramon. So we have a very good understanding of the historic importance of this house, as well as the necessity to preserve it. Now, our intent is that on the outside, it'll be authentically preserved. In other words, it'll look very historically accurate. There are some very, very fine historic architects that have been very important to helping to design some of the models that were in the foyer for quite a while. These people are available to help us. And then there's people that are very, very much stakeholders that we provided a letter that they gave me quite a while ago. But you have the original, I believe, Lauren, and it was signed, and they're still willing to assist us. So I just want to be clear here. Relative to the relocation and the restoration, we want to form this sort of committee that'll be mostly made of non-owners, but important stakeholders, and these are people that really do understand the historic significance of what we're doing. The other thing is that one of the reasons they're particularly happy is because, you know, again, it's in immediate contact with two other great homes of this region, the Glass House, which I personally supervised relocating back 20 years ago now, nearly, and then, of course, the Boone Farmhouse. So, you know, the connectivity to that park and the setting that we want to create, which will be more of an agricultural setting, in its current location is surrounded by buildings, homes, etc. Okay, it is not in a farm setting. So our strategy is that, you know, we reintroduce agriculture that was common to the Harlan family of that era. As an example, Sohel arranged to purchase a wagon that was brought to California around, we don't know the exact date, but it would be around the Donner Party period. And it was in Truckee. And we went and picked it up, and we're going to restore that prairie schooner. Now, we can't document because there's no way to physically document, but we can document very accurately because of the people, the chain of ownership of it going back to around 1860, seven, that era. Say again, sir?
67, I think it was.
Yes, sir. And so the point is, so we want to restore the prairie schooner, and then we want to introduce it as a part of the story. And the landscaping, we want to go back to the original lithographs. We want that to be accurate, just like they so thoughtfully did with the Glass House. So, you know, it's an important part of, you know, what you feel when you walk up to it. And all of this will be done in a way that the city's in control. In other words, nothing's done without building permits. Everything is done under the supervision of all the appropriate agencies. You know, we're not asking for the city to participate. At one time, there was a conversation. We forgive all discussions. You know, we're not going to try to reposition ourselves. See, that was also part of the reason that we took a step back, because there was a representation to me that somebody was going to participate $100,000, and then and then that was all withdrawn, and that's what was part of the reason we took a step back. We no longer...
We will not turn that down if somebody else...
No, no, no. If you guys want to give us some money, we'll
do
take
it. Noted.
But we're not seeking
good luck.
That. Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. So this there's no adverse impact. Our strategy is we've had Fisher Movers. They're very, very preeminent in the structure moving business. We would, with permits, lift the house because the house is sinking in two corners, just like the glass house. Once we had steel underneath it, we lifted it, we got it level. Now, wood, like wire, like metal, it has memory, especially 160-year-old plus boards that were milled 160 years ago. They're stone hard. You can't put a nail in them. You'll shatter them. You have to pre-drill. This is like the stupidest investment you could dream of, because it is four times more expensive to do than just building another house. But you got to look past the cost. You got to look at the outcome. And so our strategy is that Fishers would level the house by putting steel underneath it. And then at that point, when the house is high enough off the ground that we can safely do it, we'll start some of the preservation to stabilize it. And then now the house is, with permits, relocated to its new foundation, again, with permits. So we do understand fully that we got to get seismic studies, we've got to get soils reports, we got to do all the stuff that you got to do to get a building permit. I've been developing buildings for 40 years. I have some. I own an architectural engineering practice. I have some small experience with all this. So the whole point is, my doctorate's in urban planning. This is what I do. This is what I know. So the strategy is that we'll do some of the preservation in place. Now the house is lifted. It's moved into its permanent location, and then there's no interim location. It'll go right to its pad. But it takes the PG&E discussion out, et cetera. And then our strategy is that over about a two-year period, we'll complete, you know, the restoration. Now, we have very accurate documentation to what the carriage house that was... there's a street that goes into the HOA right behind us. What's the name of that street?
The West Side Drive.
No, sir. No, West Side.
The little side?
Yeah. Please forgive me.
It's the one right here.
Baywood.
Thank you. The point is, where Baywood is now, there used to be a carriage house. And there's photographic evidence of it, and there's lithographic evidence of it, so we can very accurately determine how big it was, etc. We think it's important that we reintroduce that, but it has to be, you know, no bigger, no taller, no different. It needs to architecturally look accurate. And so as part of our proposal, we're asking for that. It's noted on the site plan, but I thought I'd mention it.
Sure.
There was a kitchen that was lost to time that was on the back of the house. And tragically, it was lost to time. When we moved the glass house, at great expense, because I paid for it, we moved also the kitchen. And then that was restored to the back of the glass house. Now, it's a tragedy that we don't have the original. But the blessing is, we know how big it was, we know what it looked like, and our proposal is to reconstruct it to be accurately representative of what it looked like. Relative to the front porch, I've grabbed up all the bits and pieces that were put inside the house, and again, we know what that will look like and when we're done. Now, the original house was yellow with a green roof. It wasn't white like it has been for the last 50, 70 years. But we have documentation of how colored. You can take paint samples, take them down to a paint store. They'll actually accurately tell you what that color was. However, the glass house is white, the Boone house is white, and we think that all known memory of the house is white. So unless we're required to paint it yellow, we'd prefer to paint it white. But at the same time, we're going to listen carefully to the input from the committee. That would advise us on that. I think respectfully, there are several points I'd like to make, if I may. By putting the house back in a farming setting, where there's going to be grazing animals, goats and sheep, there's going to be orchards, there's going to be vineyards, there's going to be the things that were around the house historically that can't be done where it's at right now. Okay. And then we think that that's good. And then the second point is its proximity to the existing park. And we've had conversations with some of the people that work at the park that graze animals, you know, to, because we're not interested, you know, I'm not interested in being out there grazing, you know, managing sheep. I apologize, but that's not my business. But there are people that are already associated with the Forest Farm Park that would welcome some additional acres to graze, you know, some of their animals. And so, you know, we've had that conversation with them. And so that's basically our proposal relative to the relocation of the house.
Do you want to, Mr. Siddiqui, he wants to, you're in
no,
this
actually,
as well?
I won't add anything more than what Dr. Starkweather has said, except that, you know, I've been living in this community for over 20 years. I've just taken retirement from PricewaterhouseCoopers, so I'm just trying.
You weren't part of the Academy Awards, were you?
No, I was not, actually. I was not. And
I thought it might have been an early retirement.
Although they have made some significant changes now in the process, they're still retained by Academy, so that's a
thing. Oh, I didn't realize that.
They've been associated with that for over 85 years. So anyhow, you know.
My goal is to throw you off your game.
No, that's I know you did, and you were quite successful.
That's on Tuesdays.
Now, you know, I met Dr. Starkweather accidentally, and, you know, we were just talking about, he said, hey, I'm kind of semi-retired. I said, I'm also retired, but I'm trying to find things that are, they're going to keep me productive, but they're also meaningful, you know. So that's how the conversation led to a couple of these projects that are in front of us. One of that is the relocation. I said, oh, great, I would love to be part of the preservation of the history of the city. You know, we have been benefiting from this city for the last 20 years. Three of our boys were born here in San Ramon, so why not give back to the community? And also, you know, part of my objective is post-retirement to do things that have some sense of purpose. So, you know, the objective, the development project we have on the land, it's again just to fill the gap, the do things that community needs, you know. And I'm doing a few other projects, by the way. I have a low-income housing project that I am leading in Central Valley and a couple of other projects like that. So objective for me at this stage in my life is to do things that are meaningful, that are sort of tied to the community one way or the other, basically. So that's all I want to say.
Got a full house. Anybody want to speak?
Or they yeah, just hear it? There's a,
they adore their
like
cats.
I said, there's a rogues gallery here, and Shelley, and does anybody else want to comment about any of this?
I will.
Let the record reflect, Mr. Alpert and Mr. Marks shook their heads no. It's just a shocking development. And, go ahead.
Okay. I'm not speaking as a member of the Planning Commission right now.
Understand.
The development proposal is not in front of you. That's not the object of this meeting.
Thank you.
However, I do sit on the Open Space Committee, as you do, Phil. And so the issue that was in front of the Open Space Committee on our last meeting had to do with the concept of, in exchange for allowing the conservation easement to be encroached upon, which it would be by A, the house, and B, the carriage house, whether the city would want some type of reciprocity in terms of getting something for the open space concept in San Ramon. It was mentioned earlier in Lauren's presentation that took forms of additional easement space. But in the Open Space Committee, what they did talk about was further access to trails up the hill to tie in some other portions of it. And the discussion at the Open Space Committee was that it needed some direction from the City Council to determine whether or not the city was amenable to doing some type of trade-off, because that's what was actually discussed. You get to encroach upon and disturb the conservation easement, but in exchange, there has to be some reciprocity. And so that's what was discussed at our meeting, and ideas were thrown out that I just mentioned. So I don't think anybody is opposed to relocating this house, which I've been in. So that's really not the issue per se. I mean, no one is opposed to doing that. the issue that was in front of open space and what I thought was going to be discussed by this committee was whether the city was willing to enter into negotiations with the landowner so that in exchange for changing the conservation easement, the city would get something back in return on the open space side of the ledger.
Okay.
And that's, I think Mr. Starkweather would agree that, and that's what Mr. Barr's report indicated, that that sort of came up and this sort of died off a couple of years ago for various reasons. But it never got to the point where there was a bid and ask on any changes to the easement in exchange for other things. And so I think, not to overstep my position, but I think that's what the open space was looking for, is some type of indication from the city council that that's something that it would consider. And so at some point in time, someone has to sit down with Mr. Starkweather and say, okay, you want to move your house to this area here, you want to basically carve out this conservation easement for a private house. Okay, in exchange we want the following three things. And you go from there like any other negotiation. So, I mean, that's what I think the Open Space Committee was looking for.
Dave, do you have comments?
Yeah, that's where to start. And you really encapsulate a lot of it. I think what we are doing today is really encapsulated in the last sentence. It's also a need to ensure that the purpose and intent of the conservation easement is maintained. So I would have, and we're setting it up for a full council. We're not going to make this decision
Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely.
I think that if we were to go out and poll 10,000 people, 9,999 would say, don't let that house go. I mean, whatever you're doing, I mean, of course, nobody's had an answer. Said it was 20 years. Pat Boone was mayor.
You're absolutely right.
And I didn't serve with Pat Boone, if that gives you a clue as to how long it's been. Watching her run down the street was another story, too. I'm looking at separating this out and identifying whose job is what. And out of today, I'm hoping that we can send the policy, which I don't have in front of me. I don't know what our policy is on conservation, but I think that the council is going to have to, if we don't have one, they're going to have to make one up. You know, what are we, because when we're through, what we do is going to be the policy. For me, I don't have a problem moving this house to the conservation easement. And I think that's what Eric's talking to, what is negotiated out of this has to be done by the city manager. And what the final product looks like should not come to fruition without a public meeting where Eric, Open Space, Historic Foundation can say their piece in an open meeting. And I'm assuming that just because you brought it to us that it's going to go directly to council about policy. Just about policy. Are we going to allow things on? Do we have other? Is this the only public easement? Because once you do it on one,
there are several other properties that are encumbered by the same easement, and there are other easements in the city. We can most certainly, when you look at the wording in the easement, it's very possible to tailor language very narrow to reflect this proposal, if that's the desire.
That's where I feel we should just today discuss, can we do just what the policy would be to bring it to the council? And Eric started the conversation on what we want the policy to be, not to do this. I mean, I would say that if you wanted to move this house to the conservation easement, that you still have to go through the planning commission on whatever has to go through them, still has to go through staff. There still has to be feedback from what the open space said,
right,
so that you're reading it just like we do architectural review. And I would love to get some feedback from the historic foundations around here, because they're going to chime in. The worst thing in the world we could do is start this policy and not have enough outreach out there that somebody comes in afterward and said, why didn't you do this? Or why didn't you do that? But I mean, if this is what you're asking right here is, you know, those two sentences, I'm ready to proceed that you put it before the council and say, we're willing to move this and have everybody chime in and then we decide.
I think that's correct. The purpose of the policy, or the real question is public purpose. You know, there's obviously an easement in place to protect the public values for open space and conservation. And these are competing interests that are aligning. And so there has to be a discussion and an ability to sort out how those competing public purposes interact. Preservation of the house versus conservation. And where that trade-off and where that line is. And that's really the much broader question that's solely the discretion of the council at this point.
As the easement holder.
As the easement holder. And I would totally appreciate the council wanting to solicit input from all these other groups.
Absolutely.
I mean, Phil.
So I think that, you know, let the record reflect that Councilmember Hudson and I are in violent agreement about most of this. So, here's there's a bifurcate. This is obviously complicated. Frankly, it's less complicated than it was 2 years ago, right?
Yes, sir.
Right, which is
there's only two parties now.
Yeah, exactly. So that's good. The discussions from the Open Space Advisory Committee 2 years ago, and then a fundamental reaffirmation of those same principles happened, I don't know, a month ago?
January 8th.
Yeah, January 8th, there you go. Which was the basic principle surrounding conservation easements, which the Open Space Advisory Committee reaffirmed, is that you don't weaken easements, you make them stronger. Mm-hmm. So the question became then, how do you make this stronger? And fundamentally, the discussion revolved around the very things we were talking about, which was trail easement opportunities, what does that look like, and such. That's one piece of it. And it was also the Open Space Advisory Committee wanted to walk the land again, because there's half the people are new on that committee from 3 years ago, so it was important for the committee to traipse up and down your property again to see what the opportunities might be as it related to some connections fundamentally further up the hill. The other piece is then really revolved around in my view, and you know, my view of the kitchen. Is that the reason they were separate from the rest of the house is because they burned down every 20 years, right? I mean, George Washington's home in Mount Vernon has a separate kitchen for that very reason. So
it was connected, though.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. So
it wasn't a separate building.
Okay. So, but it's not surprising that you don't have a kitchen on some level with a home of this age. You know, the carriage barn and what all that looks like to me is you know, part of this is who gets directed where, right, Dave? So that's, but the Open Space Advisory Committee to me was strengthen the easement. There's an opportunity here. Let's figure this out. And I think we're in a position to figure it out. That's my view of it. The other questions really revolved around how much public access there really was going to be to this. Getting to put a structure that's a home at the end of it all, right?
No, it will not be a residence.
It won't be a residence. Okay, because before it was going to be a residence.
It was never going to be
caretaker,
a
caretaker, I think.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So, anyhow, it was more just, okay, what else are you putting there? What, you know, why, et cetera. So, and to me, that's Planning Commission purview, yeah. As far as, you know, next steps in that regard. What's coming out of there? What's going in there? In the other location is obviously an important element. But the next steps in this, from the desires of the Open Space Advisory Committee, was to again tour the land and reaffirm what they felt the opportunities were from an open space perspective. Because you're right, Dave. What this boils down to is that from a policy standpoint, we're setting precedent, right? Yeah. So there better be a pretty high bar as far as why you would do anything like this, and what are the public benefits, et cetera. So I guess that's kind of where I was coming
from. If I could
throw
one other thing. One of the things, we have other easements in the city that we do. One of them is right by my house, the creek. And we're putting trees all over the place. We've done things. What I am really concerned about is I can't remember really a clear-cut outreach that once we did this and we felt we did it right, we could say this is the direction, staff, we'd like you to take, you know, going forward, you know, to do this. To me, it's as if, what are we saying? Somebody wants to do something on that easement. All right, now, house burns down, can't be that. You want to do something else? Can somebody else come in and say, well, I want to put, I keep thinking of this barn that used to be out in Doherty Valley that fell down. Or further up the hill, Kilderman's mom or something has a place hiding in there when she thought that the Japanese were going to invade. I mean, if we're saying that you can do this, then what we, the council, are saying is, this is how you have to do it. You have to send letters, outreach to Historic Foundation, East Bay Regional Park District. I mean, a list of people, right, that are what I call A-listers. If we turn around and just say, well, the Open Space Committee said it, we want to know what the Open Space Committee is saying, but we also want to know anybody else that has any kind of a... Because when the church was doing something next door, it was Harry's neighbor that came out in force and didn't like it. Somebody's not going to like it. I can guarantee you right now, that thing is a blight on the hillside, and you're a terrible, terrible person for wanting to save it. But I'm looking as a policy, how are we going to do this in case anybody wants to do this? And I'm glad it's this one, and I'd like to do it right now to keep it to be this one. But I think the same things are at play, the negotiations. There's a guy you got to talk with. They're going to give feedback from Open Space, going to say, we want this, this, and this. Historic Foundation may say, we want this, this, and this. And that's negotiating between you two. But it has to be made at a public meeting. And I think we're the forum for it. And I'm ready to do it sooner than later. That's my point, to set a policy.
Joe, is there some semblance of direction that you're getting here?
I think what I'm hearing from at least the committee that you're certainly amenable to modifying the easement and allowing this to take place if it meets a threshold of public benefit that will strengthen the easement, and that will be vetted through a group of stakeholders, being the policy committee, the Historic Foundation, and potentially East Bay Regional Parks or any other.
Now, East Bay Regional Park would be involved because?
I have no idea.
Because Bev Lane's involved in anything that happens historically. Yeah. It's not East Bay Regional Park.
I don't think it goes,
she's,
you know, please, East Bay Parks,
trees.
Can we do this? It's more, what do you think, East Bay Parks, since we're going to be ideally doing trail connections.
Now, the reason I'm asking that is because the labor union is trying to presently entitle something. And they've approached me for a trail, which I very politely said, are you crazy? You know, they offered me
that
money.
That doesn't sound too darn polite.
I don't really need their money. So I'll just simply say, just to be clear, I'm not opposed to the trail.
You're talking about the laborers' camp?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, they got land and they have some vision that they're going to subdivide it, blah, blah, blah. The whole point is that I have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations and thousands of personal hours building trails all over the state. Okay, so I just want to be clear here. I personally maintain the trail that goes through my property right now. I do call the city park district, and occasionally they send people out. But in the last 20 years, about 99% of the actual work was done by me and my brother Randy.
Right.
Now that's a fact. And I've never complained. I never asked for anything. I just did it, picked up the trash. I go out there every week or two and I pick up all the trash. I never complain because I'm the steward of one of the largest privately owned properties in this city. What a privilege. What a privilege it is. I thank God every day for my blessings, and I tell you, it is a blessing. So relative to the preservation of the house, I think it's a lot more important, as Mr. Sohail very clearly stated. It's very important to us.
Sure.
And we hope that there's always going to be somebody that, you know, doesn't understand that the preservation of that house. By the way, just as an aside on this historic, if I were proposing to build a house for my daughter and you said no, first of all, I'd never even suggest it. What we're talking about is an historic building on an agriculturally underlying agriculturally zoned property next to an existing historic park owned by the city.
Right.
So really, the beauty of it is, because of Sohail's generosity, etc., is there's just two players now. The other player, it seemed like every time I talked to him, there was another issue that was constantly being thrown into the equation, and it made it so I just didn't feel like people were treating me with good faith. So we took a step back. So we do have a wonderful opportunity, but if somebody else has an 1846-era house that they can relocate to another part of the city to preserve it, by the way, just as an aside, there isn't one, okay? So what we're talking about is a remarkably unique set of circumstances. Now, what is our plan? As was suggested by others, and we've embraced, and that is that the public would have access to this house. It's simple. And so we don't create an environment. Now, yes, I had considered, and so maybe that's what's being referenced, that I would restore it for my daughter. I'd be honest with you, she wants me to build her a brand new house. She doesn't want to live in this house. She wants to live in a brand new house. And that's
that's hard to believe.
Yeah, yeah. And I have just one child, and she's going to inherit everything, so what the heck?
Let me clarify something, because you're thinking along the lines. I gave you a poor example. What I'm saying is, we have an opportunity to do something for the first time, certainly for the first time with this council.
Yes.
And that is how we treat something when we're trying to protect the intent of, in this case, a conservation easement.
Yes.
And I'm saying that we treat this like it's a policy, how we're looking at it.
Yep.
And we stay focused on this particular site, and you're going to do this. And because of, and we make findings when we finally get down to the end that can be used for future generations if they want to do it.
Yes.
I'm not looking for another 1846 house or any of that kind of stuff. In fact, I just use that example. We need to stay focused on policy and turn you loose when you get to a public meeting. This public meeting, to me, is the golden opportunity to tell people what you're doing. I think you need to go back and think about those meetings we went through with the glass house, with the Gilderman house when we were going to buy it for $1 million and Kurt killed the deal. But I mean, we've had history on this.
Yes.
It was the people that came out of the woodwork to do this.
Yes.
And I think they'll do it again.
Yes.
And it's an opportunity for these different people that are a little more organized now than they were than, say, the glass house, to come out and say, look, we're amenable to this. We see the value in this house, but you know, we see a lot of value in conservation easements, in the trails or whatever, and let people tell you what they want in a public meeting.
Yeah, yeah. But again, we should not fear. We should not fear the truth, and we should not fear that somebody out there has a very heartfelt issue that I'm simply and we're simply not aware of. I want to get it all out there.
No, and we're saying the same thing.
Yes, and so just to be as clear as I know how to be, I welcome this opportunity, and if the outcome is that, again, the trails that will allow the public park on the west side to go forward, that allow the children of our community and future children not yet born to have access to, how special is San Ramon that we even have the potential of this when so many of our neighbors don't have it?
Well, I think the other opportunity is, Phil, just you in particular, because we're here today, that out of nowhere somebody comes up and says, we don't want that overpass, you missed that one completely, didn't you? John Ramp, Hoff Rents. That had an 80% approval rating. That we're able to tell them, do you understand we've been doing this for 25 years that I know of? Just me. I mean, I don't even think I was on the Planning Commission yet when we were discussing this. And you may not get another opportunity. So here it is, it's on the table. Is this worth it? And have whatever the negotiations you were talking about right there in front of people and say, do it now, or, you know, we'll keep pushing the, kick the can down for policy and let the next council figure it out.
Okay, then let me... Okay,
well, let's just time out. I think we're going around in circles at this point. So, but not bad circles, we're just... Joe, you articulated what the basic direction here is. You guys okay with us proceeding as described?
Absolutely.
Well, then, let's do it. All right.
So what we're doing is you figure it out, and you and the mayor get on the agenda and how to proceed.
And have it, so is this something that has to go in front of the council first, or has to go to the Open Space Advisory Committee first?
No, council's going to be, this is, so what we're asked for is policy. You can discuss it, that this is coming before the council so that you're prepared what you want.
So the full council will give direction as it relates to this subject? Hopefully in 2 weeks.
Hopefully, as far as I'm concerned, it's up to staff whenever they... I mean, since I won't be here yet.
So, to clarify, you're looking for a general policy versus a negotiated item for this specific issue?
What I'm saying is the council needs to give direction as it relates to conservation easements and how conservation easements are treated. In my view, what should come out of that is the council affirms what the Open Space Advisory Committee's advice was, which was you strengthen easements, you don't weaken them, and the Open Space Advisory Committee then, at their following meeting, hopefully has their walk with Mr. Starkweather, and what does this look like, and we proceed from there, because if there's other conservation easements, they're going to have to jump to me. It's a, you know, the Historic Foundation has its viewpoints. That's all well and good. Conservation easements, in many respects, from my perspective, trump that because there's a bunch of them. And you strengthen easements, you don't weaken them. So how do we strengthen it to the extent that there's a public benefit as it relates to the conservation easement? That's where I'm coming at it from, and we need to have some...
Say it on a Tuesday night.
Okay.
We come up with something, everybody has their, as long as everybody's had their shot so that we're not, you know, there aren't any surprises. And they'll surprise you and they'll say exactly what you just said.
All right.
Well, and then you've strengthened your position. But we've got to give direction about what the policy is going to be so you can move forward. Because I don't think you have another winner.
Okay. Is that good?
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
And I guess that's it, right? That's adjourned.
Okay.